Splicecast.
Welcome to the third season of the No We're Not podcast. In our first two seasons, we chilled with an eclectic mix of Singapore artists and artisans, a very diverse crowd of very talented people. This season, we're going to whet everyone's appetite and hang out with artists and artisans who work with food. This is the Singapore foodie season. In Singapore, there's a cheeky saying that everyone aspires to the five C's: cash, credit card, car, country club, and condo. Since Singapore is also a nation of obsessed foodies, there's an unofficial sixth C: cuisine. In this city-state, food is life and brings a new set of C's: comfort, companionship, community, creativity, and unfortunately, calories. In this season, I'm going to explore all of these themes. In doing my research and prep, I immediately learned two things. First, everyone in Singapore considers themselves a foodie. And second, they all love to talk about food. Getting foodies, bloggers, chefs, and restaurateurs to sit for interviews was surprisingly easy. What was hard to figure out was which food to start with. Hainanese chicken rice would have been a cliché choice. In fact, I currently don't even have an episode for chicken rice. Who knows, that could change. What I do know is that in life, if you have a choice, do what you love. Growing up in Hong Kong, there was one dish that I loved as a kid and still love as an adult. I'm Ken Delbridge. This is the No We're Not podcast.
Our MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and the farm have a pig. Oink oink here and oink oink there.
If you grew up in Asia, you'll know that pork is the most important meat in Chinese cuisine. Pork comes from domestic pigs raised on farms, and while alive, they offer their farmers zero income. Unlike cows, sheep, or goats, pigs don't give milk. Unlike chickens, they don't lay eggs. Pigs just eat, poop, and breed. However, post-abattoir is where pigs shine. And pigs help create 185 different products, from bread to beer and even bullets. There's an industry term about this. When it comes to pig, you can use everything but the squeal. Oh, I guess you can use the squeal in a podcast. China consumes close to half of all the world's pork, with each person consuming 30 kilograms a year. For Chinese cuisine, there are an inexhaustible number of recipes for pork, but it's one cooking option that stands out: roasting. My favorite food, when translated into English word by word, is fork roasted, which describes how boneless pork on long forks is roasted in a covered oven. It's called char siu. To do my favorite food justice, I needed to talk to a chef whose char siu was fucking unbelievable. Now, I'm not saying a bad word, that's the name of the restaurant. Phuc Kin is a restaurant launched in 2018 by DJs Justin Ung and Vernon A, known as The Muttons. They host a breakfast show called The Muttons in the Morning on Singapore's number one radio station, Class 95. And a conversation with The Muttons and their genius chef Kai would be the perfect way to launch this season.
Hi, I'm Vernon.
I'm Justin.
I'm Kai.
And we are the minds behind Phuc Kin Roast Restaurant at Killiney Road.
Don't be rude.
You know the phrase, put your money where your mouth is? The food and beverage business is the literal embodiment of that saying, because the F&B industry can be tough. A lot of establishments don't make it past year three, and startup costs can be astronomical. If you have money to invest, the local playbook is to buy property. So my first question was to ask, why would two super successful DJs go invest in a restaurant?
Wow.
F&B is something that's close to our hearts, well, actually closer to our stomachs.
That's Vernon A.
It really is the only other business we know aside from radio. It really just made all the sense in the world because, you know, we love eating and we don't really run the business, but we just literally...
Oh, please don't.
Yeah, because we probably run it to the ground.
No.
Yeah. We just be eating all our own food and not have anything for customers.
The story is that because we had been a radio partnership for so long, we had wanted to do a business together. Mm. So over the years, we had discussed so many stupid things. Like we wanted to do an event company. We wanted to sell handphone covers. You know, it just ranged from possibly to absolute nonsense. So one day we were actually approached by a good friend. His name is Bernie. He is the guy who runs the Fat Boys Burger Empire in Singapore. Mm-hmm. So he came up to us and says, "Guys, I want to do an offshoot of the burgers. Do you guys want to come in to help me with it?" I'm like, "Perfect. We were looking for something to do anyway."
Yeah.
And it just took off from there.
The new venture would bring together Chef Kai, the Muttons, and Bernie Tay. Kai and a friend had opened a stall at the old Airport Road food centre called Roast Paradise, offering KL-style roast meats. It was an instant hit with customers, and now this new collaboration will be Kai's first restaurant. The name chosen is a cheeky play on words. Justin explains.
There is a story behind it. So we, for the longest time, we knew we wanted to do this restaurant. Mm-hmm. We knew it was going to be char siu, roast meats, really good food. So for the longest time, us and our business partners all knew we were going to use the name Roast. We're going to call it Roast.
Well, it was the working title.
It was the working title. For almost a year, it was the working title. Roast, 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 roast.
Kai picks up the story.
We realized that, you know, we want to have a more closer relationship to the customer. La, and because it's a Chinese Cantonese food, so definitely a Chinese name must be. La. Mm. So me and Bernie, we have a discussion and we thought that, you know, we wanted to have something that sounds a little bit quirky and funny also. Mm. One day we are just talking, you know, discussing, and then we came up with a couple of names. La, and then suddenly this word Fukin just came out. You know, we thought that it's really a cool name, la, because, you know, it's like delicious, you know, good, you know, and stuff.
And that's where the podcast has to bleep already, right? You start bleeping from here.
I'm no saint when it comes to salty language, but Fukin as two Chinese words is totally okay. It's not swearing, but actually saying Well, that gets bleeped because this podcast has been clean when it comes to explicit words. Back to Justin.
Roast just felt so generic, honestly. We're so glad we didn't go with that. And in Mandarin, it's Fu Jing.
Ah, yes,
right?
Correct.
Which means what? Obviously, I have no idea.
Yes, so because we love the name Fukin so much, so after that, you know, we try to translate in every way we can.
Yeah.
So we came up with Fu Jing. Fu, it means prosperity, you know, and very full of luck. Mm-hmm. And then Jing, it means power. So, you know, we want our customers to actually come in, you know, to actually have good food, be blessed, and after that, when they have a good meal, you know, they feel healthy, they feel strong.
And it's scientifically proven as well, because protein gives you power. So, and that's what we sell. Protein
he
in the
just
meat.
Came out with that now.
No.
Like a year and a half after we opened the restaurant.
Yeah, so there you go.
And to be honest, it turned out to be such a blessing, that discussion you guys had, because now the name is so memorable. Like you can tell someone of a famous char siu store, it's like, where is that? Oh, it's like at ABC Market. What's it called? Don't know. Who knows what your favorite char siu store is called?
Yeah.
But everybody remembers Fukin because their name. So it just struck gold at the right time.
Fukin serves KL-style char siu, and I wanted to know the difference between that and the Hong Kong char siu that I'd grown up eating. So I jumped onto a chat group with a few of my childhood Hong Kong friends, and I was chastised for spelling siu as S-I-E-W. Apparently, that's a Singapore-Malaysia thing. In Hong Kong, the pinyin spelling is S-I-U. It's all Cantonese, though. Anyway, Kai picks up the KL char siu versus Hong Kong char siu from the viewpoint of a chef.
KL char siu is slightly more on a sweeter flavour. Mm. And then it's more fatter, juicier. And then a Hong Kong one is slightly more lean.
Right.
And
then
it's usually brighter red in colour.
Yes.
And they have this strong taste of nan ru. Which,
what is nan ru?
Fermented bean sauce.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yes. Wow. I literally didn't know that.
Correct.
No, I know. I mean, for having been to Hong Kong, I know the char siu there's very little fat in it at all.
Mm, it's very lean.
It's lean, it's tender. And it's not sweet at all, whereas the KL kind of char siu is really caramelized, almost crispy on the outside, right?
So that's why it's S-I-E-W and not S-I-U.
Wow, damn fighting words in Hong Kong. It would be good for me to clarify one thing about this podcast. It's not a food review podcast because there are so many other wonderful reviewers out there. That said, if there's just one food under the sun that I have eaten enough to allow me the luxury of having an opinion, it's got to be char siu. And with my hand on my heart, I can say Fukin's KL-style char siu is wow. Kai spent 4 months learning the secrets at his uncle's roast shop, and his uncle happens to run Famous Serambang Favourites, one of KL's best roast shops. Since opening Roast Paradise and now Fukin, Kai has kept tinkering with the process. The cooking time started out at 2 hours 15 minutes, with the marinade reapplied 8 times. It's an evolving recipe.
Sometimes it's even more than that. It depends on the how caramelized we want it to be.
Right. So consistency is really dependent on us, like how much we want to change the process of roasting as well.
Yes.
The muttons know to leave the kitchen secrets to Kai and his team.
How long does it take to roast the batch again?
Near the 3 hours. La, but, right now we shorten it because we actually changed part of the process during this 1 year. So things have become smoother and more efficient.
So as you can tell, we have never stepped into the kitchen before.
We are learning.
We just stand outside and like, wow, look what they're doing.
We're learning as we go along. Yeah. No, poor Kai, I know you can't see this on a podcast, but he's actually got a lot of battle scars on your arm, right? Yeah. Because of all the, you got to take it in, take it out.
Yes.
Inevitably, you're going to start
burning yourself.
It's mirrored in Singapore society that sometimes tough decisions have to be made to improve things. Fook Kin already had a menu that customers loved, but in the interest of improving their product, they decided to switch to pork from Duroc pigs.
Because Duroc, right, that particular brand is actually a higher premium quality pork, a mixed breed of Spanish and Kurubuta pork. We actually had a try. You know, it's actually more delicious, more tender, and then the meat is actually juicier. So we decided to change to that, even though it is much more pricier.
Duroc pigs are a mixed breed commercial pig, first developed in the US around 1800. The mix includes the Berkshire pig from the UK and also four piglets from Spain and Portugal imported to the US in 1837. The Kuribata pig, often known as the Japanese black pig, is the Berkshire pig imported to Japan, which is why Kai described the Duroc as a mix of Kuribata and Spanish breeds. Duroc pigs are known for having high levels of intramuscular fat, resulting in a marbling effect, kind of like what you'd see in premium cuts of steak in Japan. They have slightly higher back fat, and everyone knows if the fat is right, the taste is going to be spectacular. But it presents a problem for the muttons.
Now we're screwed.
Why?
Because we have to find out how to say Fukin in Spanish and Japanese. Oishi.
That's good. Right? Oh, I don't even want to try.
Yeah.
No, I know this this testimonial holds no credibility because we also own the business.
Yeah.
But the first time Kai and Bernie got us to try the new pork in the form of the soba, the roast pork, and we had it, it was like, that's different. And it's like, hang on, how did our roast pork get juicy? Because they didn't tell us the recipe changed.
Yeah.
They said, try this. How did it get juicier, more tender and crispier overnight?
Right.
And then they told us, oh, we changed the supplier, we changed the recipe. It's like,
How do you spell sioba?
S-I-O B-A-K.
Okay, we gotta check with your Hong Kong friends.
They're gonna go, no,
yeah, you know, that's no. So Singaporean, right?
No, don't count.
Fook Kin also serves an otherworldly roast duck. Once you have a good duck, the next step is seasoning. It's the same in life. To make something great, you have to start with a solid foundation, but what you add to that is what sets you apart. In the fried chicken game, KFC famously uses 7 herbs and spices. At Fook Kin, their roast duck is roasted with a secret blend of 18 ingredients. This is Justin.
The answer we give everyone is we just wanted to beat KFC.
That's right, yeah. You know? We wanted to double what they do, and that's why we did it on the duck.
You know, so how many do they have? Okay, triple it, double it. And then we have just more. No, but Kai has the official answer.
It's actually a mixer of herbs and sauce. So some of it is stuffed inside the duck, and then some of it is used to do the herbal sauce that comes with the duck. So that makes up about 18 of them.
Chinese cuisine is eaten with chopsticks, so meats have to be cut before plating. The decision to go with thick or thin slices depends on the meat.
For duck, we try to cut it thinner,
yep.
But for chashi and roast pork, we try to cut it more chunkier. So we actually get our staff to try, you know, the differences between how thin they cut and then how thick they cut. And then we tell them, you know, this is the kind of measurement that we want. And then they also agree to it because they felt that, you know, it's like for chashu, you cut it in thicker blocks, it's much more juicier. So we get them to try and then they like it. And then, you know, it's through communication and all this.
A lot of hawker stalls know that meat is the biggest cost on a plate, so they will often slice all of their meat thin and then fan it out to make it look like there's more meat on the plate. But they aren't fooling anyone.
I know we're moving off topic to another kind of food, but chicken rice. After they cut it, they flatten it so much, so they make it look like it's a lot of chicken.
Right.
It's actually just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh.
And then they bluff you that, you know, it just covers more of the rice.
Right.
Like, guys, I know what you're doing, guys.
We should try and bluff people as well. Just flatten our meat.
Just flatten the char siu,
yeah,
right?
There you go.
Watching the Muttons and Kai talk, I could sense they've got a good thing going at Foot King. With Kai and Bernie keeping an eye on operations, and the Muttons being the public face of the restaurant, what gets noticed the most on social media is the Instagrammable images of the roast meats themselves. At Foot King, char siu and siu yok are presented on a small chopping block. It's the little details like that which make a difference. Vernon A.
I reckon Kai probably is responsible for a lot of this, and our partner Bernie as well, because he's all about presentation. He used to be the head chef at Hard Rock Cafe for many years. And we know how presentation affects your meal. I mean, the minute the plate is put down on your table, if it's just meat strewn all over the place with, you know, whatever rubbish garnishes and all that, your mind will instantly not tell you that the food is going to taste good. But if it looks great on the plate and your mind sees it and your mind is going, wow, this is a good plate of char siu, the minute you put that first piece of meat or whatever it is in your mouth, you're going to go, wow, then the fireworks are going to go off. And I reckon that's all about presentation.
Look, you've said the keyword so many times already in this interview. Instagram. Instagram sells your business.
And that's the stone cold truth. Getting the word out for a new restaurant means hitting social media hard. And for an eatery, a sexy food porn IG feed will bring in the crowds.
It's the free way of selling your business. So if, again, anything on Instagram can be an instant visual of your food. Of course, your food is going to be good because you don't want people to see a visual. And bleh. If you see a visual and it's like, ah, it's those guys. So that's the whole reason for it. We knew from the start. We started in 2018, yeah. September of 2018. At that time, already, you knew you had to make an impact online. It's not just the chopping block. It's the whole restaurant. If you've been there, you would see it's a very cheesy 1930s vibe with the neon, with the gaudy neon sign.
Looks a bit like Hong Kong, actually.
It does.
We should change the spelling of our char siu.
And we even went on, I think it must be Taobao, to find these bird cages to hang on the ceiling. It is all part of the visual that makes you remember it. You want to take as many photos of it and you want to share it. And that's what will make you stand out in the food business.
It all leads to the inevitable question, which is probably what every entrepreneur in the F&B business ponders. What's next?
That's always a good plan for any business owner to franchise or you know, have more outlets. But we feel we really wanted to concentrate on cooking the original as is and make it the best possible dining destination.
I think, Kai, you and I have had this conversation before. It's not easy to franchise this because of the
process.
The sheer labor it goes into roasting.
It's a very manual process and hard work.
Yeah. And you need someone who's good at roasting as well.
So this one, you can't outsource it to machines. You need to hire the right people to do it. And that makes it more difficult, right?
Correct. All our char siu are like all handmade, and done from scratch. Yeah.
We want to do it.
The plan is there, but we want to take our time and make this, really good. And then who knows, maybe
it's going to be processed.
We'll take over KFC.
Look, we're about a year and a half in, and we still have nights where by 8:30 p.m., 9 p.m., we run out of meat. That's a very happy problem. You can only roast so much meat in a day, and you don't want to over-roast and waste the food. So we always estimate what should be enough for today. But some days by 9 p.m., boom, there is no more meat left. And we have to disappoint some customers. So that's a very happy problem to have. Another outlet will absolutely solve this problem. But with the labor and, of course, the manpower issues in Singapore, it's going to be a process to get there eventually. But we will, absolutely will.
Thanks for listening to the first episode of our Singapore Foodie Season here on the No We're Not podcast. It was produced and hosted by me, Ken Delbridge, and recorded by Adam Yarman. My thanks to the Muttons, Justin Ung and Vernon A, and to Chef Kai for coming by the studio for this podcast. Check out Fook King on social media. Their Instagram feed is at fook.kin. That's FOOK.KIN. Singapore is going through the COVID-19 situation with the rest of the world, and one industry that has been hit really hard is F&B. If you're feeling well, do consider eating out and supporting our local eateries. We've got links in our show notes, and for more information, visit our website, noonot.com. If you've enjoyed our podcast, do subscribe. For this season, we've got new episodes coming every week. If you have a friend who you think would like this podcast, do share us via social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.